middle of everything. Right there's Jesus. Well, ain't that just like him to show up right in the middle of your everything? You get low and there's Jesus. You get exalted and a little bit heady, high-minded, there's Jesus reminding you it's all about him, not about you. What a blessing to be back in the Lord's house this evening. It's good to see some of you that's just come back from vacation. Miss Annette, good to see you and your mama. I don't see my baby brother, but we'll get on to him later about that. But it's good to see some of you that weren't here. Brother Tam, good to have you back. Folks, pray for Brother Feldman, Brother Tam's dad. He's over at the hospice house over in Dobson getting some fluid drawn off. He's a very sick man, just needs our prayers, as does Brother Woody and others. But I just trust in the same God that Brother Casey just sang about. Right in the middle of it all, there's Jesus. We're honored this week, going to be here all week long through Friday night, the 18th through the 23rd, with Brother Jason Penley, the pastor of Solid Rock Baptist Church down in Yadkinville, North Carolina, not too far from here, but I'm honored to have him with us this week. Before he comes tonight, I do want to read a portion of scripture from Isaiah, and we'll be in the 6th chapter just for a second. I won't take about 45 seconds of your time, then we're going to turn him loose. If you do nothing else this week, would you do what Isaiah did? Up to this point, you may have pronounced a woe on everybody you've come in contact with. We're pretty good at that. We pass judgment on everybody. And if you go back in the book, early in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah's woe was this one, and woe was that one, and woe was this one, and woe was that one. And then he finally gets to chapter 6, and when he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. That's my heart's desire tonight. Is to see the Lord high and lifted up. My friends, if we get him in his rightful place, if we get him put where he belongs as the pinnacle of our lives, I mean as the centerpiece of your marriage, as the everything in this church, my friends, we've got a great church, but how much greater would it be if we did everything for the honor and the glory of God? None of me and none of this, everything going on. We get so self-centered and we get egotistical. We get proud, heady, high mind. We get boastful thinking we're the better than the one up the street or the one down the street. My friends, it's all because of Jesus. Everything we do is because of Jesus. But that's my prayer this week, is that you'll get out of the boat, you'll step out on faith, and that you'll see Jesus for who he is, high and lifted up. Preacher, you come on. It's Brother Jason Penley. I'll let him introduce his beautiful wife and beautiful daughter. Come on up, preacher. Don't wait. I'll stand up here all night. You get here, but now you've got that thing pinned on your jacket. I mean, you're not taking your jacket off. Now you're gonna be sweaty.
Just preach to us. Y'all love on this man. He's just a friend of mine. I love him in the Lord. Just met you probably maybe a year ago, but it was love at first sight.
Yes, sir.
I love you, brother. Y'all think I'm crazy? I heard him preach a message for Brother Brian Miller up at Goshen Baptist Church, and the first time I ever saw him, he looked like something. I can't even tell you how he looked. Do you remember what you was wearing? He had on a shield of faith, and he had on a breastplate of righteousness. He had on a helmet of salvation. He had his feet shod with the preparation of the God. You remember now?
Yes, sir.
You were wearing the armor of God because you preached out of Ephesians chapter number 6.
Yes, sir.
That's what you preached on.
Yes, sir.
And you looked that way. I loved you then. I love you now. Just mind the Lord this week. You're at home. You're among God's children.
Thank you, preacher.
Mind him.
God bless you. So much for preaching out of Ephesians chapter number 6 this week. Amen. And Judges chapter number 16 tonight. Judges chapter number 16. And it's good to be here in the house of the Lord, Calvary Baptist Church. And just an honor to be here. Honor to have my wife, Amy, with us tonight. Honor to have my daughter with us tonight. And my mother was going to come up here, and I said, well, you need to go to your home church tonight. And so she went back to Solid Rock, and I'm glad to be the pastor of my mother. And anyway, my son's going to spend a night with her, so we sent him with her tonight so we could have a little peace and quiet. And anyway, I look forward to being here the rest of the week. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I've prayed, I've tried to seek the Lord's face, and I appreciate the theme, a back-to-school revival tonight. And you know, I believe formality would be, don't start timing me yet, give me just a minute and get my nerves down. But anyway, we was in the prayer room, and he said something about this preacher over here. And he said, when did you start pastoring? He said, 1981. I thought, my soul, I was 1 year old. And so it's intimidating to shoot basketball in front of Michael Jordan, to stand in front of these men of God and to preach. And they've forgotten more about the Bible than I will ever know. And but anyway, y'all pray for me this week, and it's good to be here. Man, what good singing by the choir. Amen. And I sure did enjoy you guys coming and being with us at Solid Rock Baptist Church during our meeting. And y'all done a wonderful job. I certainly enjoyed that. Appreciate this church. Appreciate your man of God. Appreciate Brother Chris. And good to see everybody in the house of God. And I'll be honest with you, preacher. Y'all got a blessing when y'all got Brother Casey. And that is the truth. And he's from a true vine. I've known him for several years now. But anyway, let's look into the Bible, Judges chapter number 16 tonight. I will try not to be very long-winded. But I do want to say this. I think that churches have gotten into a religious formality. And what I mean by this is the formality of a kickoff of a revival on a Sunday night would be the preacher to come and preach an encouraging message to try to encourage every single one to be faithful to the house of God for the rest of the week. And to preach on what revival is or what revival is not and how we receive revival. But I believe that I'm probably in a church that's wise enough to know how to receive revival. And if you're expecting me to bring revival, you're in bad shape. And if you're expecting to get revival tonight, I believe the Bible instructs us on how to receive revival. And it said this. It said, humble ourselves.
Right.
Amen. And pray.
Amen.
Seek God's face. And turn from our wicked way. And that is the instruction on how to receive revival tonight. And I'll be honest with you, I pulled up into the parking lot, and I got out, and I seen my name on the sign. And I thought, my goodness, preacher, I felt about that big. I'm serious when I say that, but I thought, because only God could use somebody like me. And I'm certainly honored to be here. I'm humbled to be here tonight. And I'll just be honest with you, the rest, the next couple nights, tonight and tomorrow night and one more night that I know of, what I'm preaching tomorrow night, one more night, what the Lord's laid on my heart is really out of formality. It's out of kilter for what I would have chosen to preach revival. But can I remind you that Mary and Joseph was going through a religious formality at the feast of the Passover. They would go once a year, and they ended up leaving Jesus behind when they went through that formality. And I know one thing, brother. I don't want to leave the Lord Jesus Christ behind. So look with me in Judges chapter number 16 tonight. I'll read a couple verses. I won't be long-winded with the Lord being my helper tonight. I want to preach briefly tonight on what the Lord's laid on my heart. And formality would be, preacher, to come and bring a stack full of outlines with candy sticks that you're used to preaching and that people really enjoy and are receptive to, but that's just not the case for the three messages that he's gave me. And matter of fact, this one right here, I've never preached but one time. That was just a few weeks ago, and the Lord said, that's what you're preaching on Sunday night at Calvary Baptist Church. And I said, yes, sir, that's what I'll preach. And then he said, this is what you're preaching on Monday night. And I said, yes, sir, that's what I'll preach. And I'll promise you this, it ain't about me. And if we shout, run the aisles, and say amen, and testify and breaks out, and I don't get to preach, that'll be just fine with me as well. Judges chapter number 16 tonight. Look with me in just a couple verses, starting in verse number 18. The Bible said, and when Delilah saw, I'll wait just a minute, verse number 18, and when Delilah saw that he, speaking of Samson, had told her all his heart, she went and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Verse number 20 says, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before, and I will shake myself. And he wist not, he knew not, that the Lord was departed from him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I come to you, God, just as humble, Lord, as I know how. Lord, I realize tonight my incapabilities, God. I realize my ability is absolutely positively nothing without you. And God, I ask you to empty me out of myself tonight. Lord, I know that you've laid this message on my heart. Lord, I ask you to make preaching easy for me tonight. Lord, help me to say every single thing that you would have me to say. Lord, nothing that you wouldn't want me to say tonight. Lord, I ask you to take the word of your Son, and Lord, that you would take it and break the bread of life to your people. Lord, work the word of God into our hearts tonight. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, if there's one here that's lost, Lord, that you would save them before it's eternally too late. God, help us tonight to hear this as the words of God and not the words of man. Lord, everything that's done, not only tonight, but the rest of this week, Lord, we'll give you honor, we'll give you praise for it, we'll acknowledge you for all of it. In Christ's name we so humbly pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. When we come to the book of Judges, we'll find that Israel no longer has a leader. Joshua has just died. He has stepped off the scene. So the Lord uses judges, and he takes men that's been chosen as a judge to continue his government and his personal government over the children of Israel. We'll find that there is 13 judges in the whole book of Judges, and I believe the number of the 13 in the Bible is the number of rebellion in the Bible. We'll find 13 major famines in the Bible, and in four different times in the book of Judges alone, you will find these words: "And the children of Israel done evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord." Aren't you glad that we have a merciful God tonight? Amen. And I'm glad that He don't give up on us when we continue to do evil. I know some of the things that I've done. I know some of the things that I've said. That's why it shocks me to see my name on that sign. Amen. Y'all okay tonight? Y'all do realize preachers are made of the exact same thing that you are, right? Man, we don't live in a spiritual bubble tonight. We're capable of falling tonight. We're capable of falling weak and falling short tonight. Hey, I'm just telling you, man, I'm tired of lying preachers, aren't you? I really am. I'm tired of preachers getting up here and men acting like that we're preaching down to somebody and preaching against someone, and we're not doing that tonight. Man, I'm preaching with you tonight. I'm on your side tonight. But I'm just saying tonight, if you know me like I know me, you wouldn't hear me this week. Now, I don't want to kill it, but I'm just telling you the truth tonight. Two different times in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter number 17 and verse number 6, in Judges 21 and verse number 20, chapter 21, verse number 25, it tells us, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." So we find that the book of Judges was a time of wickedness and a time of rebellion. That's almost like reading the daily newspaper, amen? Nobody's going to be over me. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. We're going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way, or I'll do it the highway. If I don't like the way you do it, preacher, and by the way, let me give this disclaimer before we start this week. I have no idea anything that's going on in this church. I don't want to know anything that's going on in this church. Matter of fact, the only thing I know is he's asked me to come preach revival. I've seen the flyer, and that's all I've talked to him. Amen. But if I don't like the way you're going to do it, preacher, I'll go down the road and I'll find me another church. It was a time of rebellion. Amen. I believe that Paul told Timothy that it would be a time where teachers, they would heap teachers having itching ears. Anybody's back ever scratched? I mean, anybody's back ever itched? And you tell your wife or your daughter, your boy, you say, "Scratch it right there." And you say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Go, no, over here, to the right, to the right, oh, to the left, oh, down a little bit. Oh, right there. That's it. If I don't like the way you do it, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go to Brother Shoemakes. And when I don't like the way Brother Donnie does it, I'll go to Brother Miller's. And then when I don't like the way he does it, I'll go over here until I find me a little bit of preaching that I can live the way I want to live. It won't affect me, and I can be comfortable, and nobody will expect me to do anything." It was just a time of rebellion. It was a time when judges, when the people pretty much tried to rule themselves. They had no rule. So the Lord chose judges. It was an evil time. But in the Judges chapter number 13 through chapter number 16, we will find the life of Samson. And if we all said, "What do you know about Samson's life?" in a consensus tonight, we will say that we know that he is a very strong man. We'd say, we know Samson was very strong. And then we might say this, we know Samson messed up with a woman by the name of Delilah. So we know something about Samson. We know that he's strong. Samson was the physically probably one of the strongest men that ever lived and has ever lived. In Judges 14 through chapter number 14 and verse number 6, you'll find him killing a lion with his bare hands. And by the way, y'all know this is a true story, right? He literally killed a lion and ripped it apart with his bare hands. In Judges chapter number 15 and verse number 15, you'll find that he took a jawbone of a new donkey and he slayed 1,000 men. By the way, before that donkey could be used, he had to die out, didn't he?
Right.
It was a new jawbone. That donkey had to die. Amen. Y'all okay tonight? All right. So I just want you to understand that it was a rebellious day and Samson was a very strong man. If you continue to read, you'll find out that he broke 7 cords that they had tied around with. And if you study those 7 cords out, Brother Chris, they were like a bow that you use for hunting with. Man, those are very, very strong. A lot of them 70 plus pounds of pressure. Y'all deer hunt up in Wilkes County, don't you? Amen. And by the way, if you have some land that you don't have anybody deer hunting on, we're on a commercial break, brother. But those cords were very... He was a very strong man. Not only that, but he went down to a place called Gaza. And he took the gate at Gaza. And he ripped it up, post and all, out of the ground. And he carried it up a hill. And he casted it down right before a place called Hebron. I want you to understand that Samson was strong. Not only was Samson strong physically, but Samson was also strong spiritually.
Oh, yeah.
You say, wait a minute, preacher. Well, Judges chapter number 13, let's look over there just for a minute. Way of introduction. I just got 2 points tonight. Don't get scared. Amen. 2 points tonight. Chapter number 13, verse number 24 and 25. And the woman, speaking of Samson's mother, bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. How many of you ever remember a time when the Spirit of God began to move and to work in your life, and as a new convert or as a Christian or as a Christian parent or as a Christian kid in school, that you began to get stirred for the Lord? Right? I mean, get stronger for the Lord. And man, you was excited to come to church and you was excited to hear the choir sing. Or maybe you was excited to hear the youth choir sing. Maybe you was excited to hear the message preached tonight. Hey, I'm just telling you, God worked in Samson's life and it says that he was a very strong man. 3 other times in the Bible, Judges 14 and 6, 14 and 19 and 15 and 14, the Bible tells us the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. So Samson was no stranger to the Spirit of God. And I don't believe Calvary Baptist Church is a stranger to the Spirit of God. But then when we read our text verse, I believe it to be one of the most saddest verses in the Bible, preacher. We find somebody that once was strong in the Lord and mighty in the Lord and the powerful in the Lord, and the Lord was moving on him and the Lord was working in his life, and the Lord was, maybe he was standing up and testifying when the Lord nudged his heart. Maybe he was a young preacher boy that was excited about preaching. Maybe he was just a young convert that was excited to be in Sunday school. Y'all have Sunday school, don't you? Then, the Bible says, and he awoke out of his sleep. Notice his condition. He was sleeping. And he woke out of his sleep and he said, I'll go out the other times before and I'll shake myself.
Right.
We're trying to do it ourselves.
Come on.
We're trying to have revival by ourselves. We're trying to shake ourselves. Well, we, the Independent Baptist movement, we're the best in the world. Is it all right to come down here and preach tonight? Hey, we are the best in the world at stirring the pot to get somebody to shout amen.
Come on, brothers.
Right?
Come on.
We know right when to raise our hand.
Come on, brothers.
We know right when to shout amen. Man, we know right how to do it. We know right when to sing that verse again and sing that verse again and sing that verse again. But I believe we're doing it on our own a lot of times. I believe we're asleep a lot of times. I really believe that Samson was asleep and he didn't even realize that the Spirit of God had left him. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is when it says, "And he wist not." He didn't even know that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't even know it. He was no stranger to it. The weakest moment says like, but what I'm interested in is how did Samson get to this point? How did Samson become one of the strongest men that's ever lived? How did Samson be somebody that was faithful to church on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, a Wednesday night? How did Samson become someone that was committed to Sunday school? How did Samson become someone that you could depend on as a pastor? And now,
come on,
they're not here. How did Samson become that person? So just for a moment on tonight, I want to preach on this. If you're looking for something real, real deep, bring your shovel tomorrow night. I want to preach on this. How the strong became weak. How the strong became weak. Can I say this tonight? Number one, the strong became weak. You say, I know, preacher. I know how he became weak. He became weak because of Delilah. There's a lot that took place, preacher, before Delilah ever came on the scene. There was a lot that took place in Samson's life before the woman ever came into the picture. Number one, let me say tonight, Samson became weak because he is hanging around the wrong people. Samson became weak because he's hanging around the wrong people. How many young people we got in here tonight? How many teenagers we got? How many we got under 30 here tonight? Amen. Now, I'll preach to the kids a little bit tonight, but it goes for the adults as well. Right? Samson became weak because he started hanging around the wrong crowd. My pastor used to say this, you are now or you soon will be who your friends are. You are now or you soon will be who your friends are. Right? Look with me in Judges 14. In Judges chapter number 14, and verse number 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. In the last two verses in chapter 13, we find Samson being moved by the power of God. And then in chapter number 14, we find Samson hanging around the wrong people. Samson went down. Samson went to the Philistines, to the enemy. How many of you remember David and Goliath? Goliath was a Philistine. Goliath was the enemy of God's people. The Philistines, the worldly crowd, the people that maybe even say they're saved but act like the world. The people that run their pastor down. Amen. Now I know that we don't have any of that at Calvary Baptist Church. The people that talk about everything that's voted on at Calvary Baptist Church. The thing that we always find fault in every little thing. You ever see anybody like that? Now listen, you ain't got to go out and hang around the drunkard and alcoholic. I'm just talking about we can hang around the wrong crowd, preacher, by just hanging around a dirty Christian.
Come on.
By a dirty child of God that talks about everybody and talks about everything and has a problem with everyone. I would go there, but we used to go to Calvary Baptist Church, but I heard the preacher say that he'd burn any kind of Bible that wasn't the King James Bible, so we don't go there anymore. I had that said to me. Not Calvary Baptist Church, but I had that said to me yesterday. I taught a concealed carry class yesterday, preacher, and a lady went to a good, fundamental, independent Bible preaching church, and she said, I don't go there anymore. I said, how did you end up at this church? She said, well, I ended up there because the preacher started preaching at the church that I used to go to about how he had burned any other Bible besides the King James Bible. And I thought to myself, well, you don't need to come over to our church. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have a pastor that put any other Bible in my kids' hands but a King James Bible. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, you can hang around the wrong people and you can start to lose your strength. And Samson was hanging around the Philistine. Let me say this. Running with the wrong crowd will lead to the wrong relationships. The Philistines were big. They were strong. They were powerful. I wonder if Samson thought that he was strong enough, preacher, to change Delilah. I wonder if Samson thought he was strong enough. I know she's a Philistine. I know she's not saved, preacher. I know she's not born again. I know she don't believe like I do. I know she don't go to a church like I do. I know she don't like my church, preacher. I feel God. I know she don't go to my church. I know she thinks my preacher preaches too loud. I know she don't like it because I've got to dress right when I go to...
Come on.
But I'll change her. I'll change him. I wonder if Samson thought he was strong enough to change Delilah. Can I ask you a question? Hey, young people, single people, are you in a relationship tonight that you know, that you know, that you know, that God don't want you in? Are you in a relationship tonight that God's been dealing with your heart about, that you know that you're not going to be in? You feel it. You've lost some of your strength tonight. You feel it pulling you away. Can I tell you this with all due respect? I love you tonight, but you're not strong enough to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever tonight. What fellowship hath light with darkness? There's no way to make it dark in here and there still be light, preacher. You know, and you know what gets me? When it turns from daylight to dark, it's a gradual change. It's not necessarily that the light is getting dimmer. It's just that, well, I mean, it's not necessarily that it's a blending together. It's just that the light is getting dimmer. The power of the light is getting dimmer. And that's the way that it does in our life. We think we could change that person. And the devil fools us into believing that we are able to change that person. Or maybe it'll get better when we get married.
Come on.
As you start back to school this year, or you go on in your life, man, there's nothing worth the power of God. Man, maybe some of you need to come lay your promise ring on the altar tonight. Say, you know what? For God I live and for God I die. Maybe some of you need to come and lay your engagement ring on the altar tonight. Because if you're unequally yoked, you're going against God's word. If you're hanging around the wrong people, you're in a relationship with the wrong person tonight. Listen, only God can change that person's heart. You can't change that. Samson lost his strength. He became weak when he started hanging around the wrong people. Maybe Samson thought he was strong enough to change Delilah. Number two, Samson became weak when he started going to the wrong places. Did you know if you hang around the wrong crowd that you'll end up going to the wrong places? If you hang around the wrong people, you'll end up going to the wrong places. If you hang around somebody that does drugs, you're going to end up sooner or later at the drug house. If you hang around somebody that drinks alcohol, sooner or later you're going to end up at the liquor store or at the bar, or you're going to end up somewhere where you should not be. Can I say it like this tonight? If you're dating the wrong person, you're going to end up out of Calvary Baptist Church. That's the goal. See, the goal of the enemy tonight, brother, is to get you out of that spot and to get away from that book. The only thing that gives us strength tonight is the power of God. And the power of God is the Bible, prayer, and the local church, God's ordained institution. And the way that that happens is the devil can't overcome the power that's in those things, but he can keep you from them. The devil can't overcome revival in your heart this week, but he sure can keep you from here.
Come on.
I know, no doubt your pastor's already warned you. But I'll promise you, if God's going to work in your heart this week, you will fight hell by the acres to get here every single night.
Come on.
Or maybe you won't fight it for the first couple nights and you'll think, preacher was wrong, I got it licked.
Come on.
And then Wednesday or Thursday, when God was going to come by and drop some bread in your pew, what you've been praying about, what you've been desiring and seeking for your life, that's tonight that everything will be turned upside down. Samson began getting weak when he went to the wrong people, when he hanging around the wrong people, when he's hanging around the wrong places. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Look with me in Judges 14 and 5. I'm almost done. 14 and verse number 5. Then Samson went down. And saw his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the, somebody help me out with that, vineyards. No doubt Samson knew he wasn't supposed to be hanging around those vineyards. And by the way, even though we're in Wilkes County, we do know that it's still wrong to drink, right? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Amen. That's what Solomon said in the book of Proverbs. The very first time that he went down to the vineyard, hanging around the wrong people, nothing took place. He kind of started getting comfortable. So he went again and hung around the wrong people. And now, if you keep reading right there, the Bible says that the lion roared against him. I believe Peter said it like this. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, your enemy, the one that wants to kill you, defeat you, tear you down, rip your home apart, get your kids, your enemy, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion,
right,
seeking whom he may devour.
That's right.
Samson didn't face the enemy until he got into the places where he should not have been.
Right.
I want to go a step further. I just want to follow the Lord tonight. Is that all right? You're not strong enough to hang around the opposite sex by yourself without some kind of supervision and safeguards in place.
Come on.
8 years old to 80 year old, brother, I don't believe there's only one of us.
Come on.
Strong enough to hang around the opposite sex alone for somebody that you have feelings with without safeguards in place.
Come on, brother.
Holding yourself accountable. Taking a little brother with you, a little sister, no matter how much you hate that. Right? Staying out of those places that you know you shouldn't be. I'm telling you now, we're not strong enough. We think we're strong enough to handle these things, but we're not strong enough. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I want to say this and I'll be fixing to close. By the way, can I say this? Can I remind you? Can I remind you what the man of God said when before Samson was born? Before Samson was born, the man of God went to Manoah's wife and said this. Said, you take, here, I want to tell you how to raise your kid. You keep that boy away from the vineyards. Anything that grows on the vine, don't take a part of it. Keep him away from it. He's a Nazarene. I've got something special for him. I want to use him. I want to work in his life. Where'd he end up? Man, he ended up in the vineyard. He ended up in the wrong place. Why did he end up in the wrong places? Because he started hanging around the wrong people. Just follow me right here. This won't take but just a minute and I'll close. Judges chapter number 16 and verse number 1. Judges chapter number 16 and verse number 1. Then went Samson down to Gaza. Y'all with me tonight? Then went Samson down to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in into her. In Judges chapter number 13, verses 24 and 25, the Lord is blessing Samson, and the Lord is working in Samson's life. In Judges chapter number 14, in verse number 1, Samson starts hanging around the wrong people. In Judges chapter number 14, in verse number 5, we read that Samson started hanging around the wrong places. In Judges chapter number 16, in verse number 1, you'll find the word then, indicating this, preacher, what happens next?
Come on.
What happens after you start hanging around the wrong people? What happens when you start going to the wrong places? Then, Samson done something that Samson never thought he would do. It almost, preacher, sounds like Samson was headed in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It almost sounds like that Samson was headed in the geographical direction of a place called Sodom and Gomorrah, in that direction to where he would start doing things that he never thought he would do. This is one of the craziest remarks I've ever heard as a Christian, wouldn't do that. Because David had a man killed. David had an affair with another man's wife. David tried to cover up his sin. Yet David was a man after God's own heart. So there is no limitations of what you and I won't do. If further you get away from the church, the further you get away from the Bible, the further you get away from where God wants you to be, the more you lose your strength, the more you'll start reverting back to your old self. In Genesis chapter number 10 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon," which was up here, "to Gerar," which is a little bit further down here, "unto Gaza," which was a little bit further down here, "and unto Sodom and Gomorrah," which was right over next to that. Preacher, it almost sounds like that Samson was heading to a place of no return. It sounded like Samson was headed to a place where, and I understand Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. I understand that. But I'm just saying tonight that Samson was headed to a place, and by the way, he was headed to a place. He was headed to a place of no return. But I'll tell you how it all got started tonight, preacher. It started when he started hanging around the wrong people, and it started when it started going around to the wrong places tonight. But let me end with this. Look with me in Judges chapter number 16. I'm glad for grace, aren't you? I mean, preacher, there might be even somebody in here tonight that's already lost their strength. There might be somebody in here tonight. Is that your daughter that plays the piano? Would you care if I ask her to come on to the piano? Would that be okay? It might be that somebody in here tonight has already lost their strength. It might be that somebody in here tonight is already thinking about moving churches or quitting singing in the youth choir. It may be tonight that somebody's getting ready to give in and say yes to marrying somebody they know they shouldn't marry. Whatever the case is, it may be that somebody has already went too far. Maybe that you're sitting at the gate with your tent pitched toward Sodom tonight. Just maybe. And by the way, I'm not talking down to you tonight. I've been there. That's what blows my mind, preacher, when I can walk up and see my name on that sign. I ain't no better than you are. Hey, it might be that one day God wants your name on that sign, men. It might just be that God wants to use you. But I do know this, at Samson's weakest point, there's a little lad, preacher. There was a little lad. You look like a strong man. At Samson's weakest point, when he knew not, they had got him, they had plucked his eyes out. And he stood there helpless because he was as weak as he could have ever gotten. The Bible says that there's a little lad had a hold of his hand. I'll promise you tonight, church, somebody is looking at your life. Man, there's a little lad, there's a little boy, there's a little girl. There's somebody tonight, Brother Chris, that's looking at your life. There's somebody, sir. There's somebody, ma'am, that's looking at your life. Do you know what Samson said? Samson finally got it right before he died, preacher. Samson finally got the big picture. And I kind of feel like Samson sometimes. I still don't have it all, but well, it takes me a little while to get things, and I finally got it. I finally got it, preacher. I finally got it. You got to die out to self, preacher. You got to get rid of your wants, your desires, and you got to desire what God wants for your life more than what you want for your life. Maybe Samson thought he was strong enough. Maybe Samson thought he knew better. But I do know this, preacher. Samson seen something that he wanted, and he went after it. Altars are open, by the way. I'm done right after this. In verse number 28, the Bible says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once. Oh God, Man, I hear the sincerity of his prayer. I hear the earnesty in his prayer. Oh, Lord God, remember me and strengthen me. Oh, God, would you help me? That I may be at once avenged, these Philistines, for my two eyes. And Samson took a hold of the two pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up. Of the one with his right hand, the other on his left. Verse number 30 says this, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Let me die with the Philistines. Let me die. You know how the strong became weak tonight? Because he wasn't willing to die to self. We'll stand all over the house tonight.